Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Hello, everybody. It's great to be with you. And if we've never met before, my name's Andy. I hope we get to meet soon. And thank you so much for choosing to be with us today. And whether you're joining with us online or if you're with me here in the room, you are incredibly welcome. So today, I'm going to continue our all-church journey that we're calling Present, or God's Presence in Every Home, exploring how we can anchor faith and following Jesus deeply in our own lives and households by pursuing practices, habits, rhythms that keep us in and keep us encountering his love for us. Our present resources page is chock full of ideas, creative things, how-tos for these different practices that we're trying out in this season in our church. There's things for different age groups, different types of households to engage in. I would encourage you to head over to our website and find the present resources page and check that out as we as a community, whether we're online or we're gathering together, scattered but united together, begin to root practices that keep us in Jesus' presence deeply into our own lives and households. The first week of our series together, I took on worship. Last week, Alan introduced the daily examine, and we have been busy. And also, our pastoral team has been out and about visiting homes to pray and bless and commission you and your household to really go on this journey. We've also had the pleasure of delivering gifts from us to you, a gift that is intended to powerfully remind you of God's goodness to you. If you haven't signed up for that visit and that gift and you would like someone to come out and pray for you and your household, then we would be delighted to do that. And probably the easiest way by now, if you want to sign up for that, email info@belfastcityvineyard.com, and we would love to do that. So this week's practice is engaging with the Bible. Engaging with the Bible. What is the Bible? Well, we believe the Bible is the Word of God in its unique written form, inerrant in the original manuscripts, and its purpose is to guide us into saving relationship with Jesus. The Bible isn't just a book. The Bible is actually a library of 66 books, lots of different genres, written by over 40 authors over approximately 1,600 years. It really is extraordinary and has impacted the world that we live in more than any other book. And many of you have built your lives around the Bible, but many of us haven't, or we've just really struggled with the Scriptures. We've struggled with the Bible, and we just don't know where to start, or we've had huge questions throughout our lives, or we have people questioning us, like, why on earth would you even think about reading this book? Why would you want to build your life around this book? How do you know that the Bible is true? Why would you want to even engage with it at all? And maybe, like I said, you just have or have had a ton of questions, and you feel intimidated by those 1,600 years and those genres and authors and book of books and things like that. And I guess what I would say to you tonight right off the bat is, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. I have had all of that and more in my life, but the more that I have read and studied the Bible and how what we now call the Bible, how it came into being, the more I believe that only the Holy Spirit could have drawn this together and inspired all of the different genres, styles, authors, contexts into a unified but diverse book of books that explains the story of God, the world he created, and our place in it. A story which culminates in Jesus and life in him. It has impacted me and changed me deeply, and it's proved itself true to me time after time after time. And even on my worst days of doubt and questions and struggle, I believe it to be God's word to us, worthy of investing our lives in. And so today I want to give us two reasons we need practices that keep us reading, memorizing, studying the Bible. But I don't want to leave questions unanswered. If you go to our resource page that I highlighted earlier, I would highly recommend a link that I've placed there to the Bible Project website, specifically to a series of videos that they've produced called How to Read the Bible. And you can dip your toe into that and do 1 5-minute animated video on what is the Bible to start to get some questions answered, or you can go on an incredibly deep dive into 19 or more videos on what is the Bible, where did we get it, how do we read it, what are the different genres, how do we engage with it. You can do that. They also have a podcast that is an even deeper dive as well. It is my number one podcast I have been listening to regularly over the last 2 years. It has really ignited my passion for the scriptures again. So if you want to go in really, really deep down the rabbit hole, I would recommend that as well. So there are lots of answers to questions there. So I don't want to leave us just pretend like there aren't questions and things like that. So head on over there and you will find a lot to sink your teeth into. But for today, I do need to limit myself to two reasons why I need practices that keep me deeply rooted in the Bible. And I need the Bible in me. And the first is worldview. Gathering around God's word, rooting it into our lives and households has been powerful and essential in the history of God's people. And I want to take us to Deuteronomy chapter 6 to help us out here. Deuteronomy is a book, is a collection of speeches that Moses makes to the children of Israel before they finally enter into the promised land. And in Deuteronomy, he's warning them not to be like the generation that went before them, who sinned against God in the desert, and he wouldn't allow them to then enter into the promised land. This next generation, the current generation, now gets to enter, but they must listen to God, and they must follow him, and listen to his word to them. And so Moses is before them, giving these sermons or speeches. He's re-giving the law. He's speaking out the law to them again. He's speaking out the words of God to them. And you can hear that in our passage, our chapter today. So start Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 2. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. You can hear that this is Moses preparing them. You're about to enter the promised land. Listen to the word of the Lord to you. He's urging them to stay devoted to the words of God to them. And he doesn't just, if you read the whole of Deuteronomy, he doesn't just give them a list of do's and don'ts, although there are some do's and don'ts in there. He also tells them a story. He reminds them of what happened before. He gives them their story as a people. And he also gives them a world view. Here's two quick examples from Deuteronomy chapter 6, Firstly, verses 10 to 12, it's this worldview. He reminds them that everything you have is from God. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He's reminding them that the Lord did this for them. They didn't do it for themselves. They didn't do anything. They are just receiving from the God who is providing them with it. He rescued them. He redeemed them. He brought them into this land, and he's going to give them everything in it. Everything comes from God, and they are to live in and never forget that true reality. It's really a Psalm 23 picture, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. It's a worldview that Moses is urging them to live in. And that worldview, if they would possess it and own it and make it their own, would keep them safe in God's presence and they would flourish in the land. If we skip ahead to verses 13 and 14 of Deuteronomy chapter 6, he's reminding them of another aspect of the worldview that they're supposed to have, that they are God's people and they are to worship him only. Fear the Lord your God and serve him only and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. He's reminding them that you are the Lord's. You are his people. Do not bow down to idols. Do not be led astray. Do not forget the Lord. Do not begin to worship yourselves and your own abilities or the idols of the peoples around you. Remember and worship the Lord your God. You are his holy people. That is who you are. Worldviews matter. How we view the world determines how we act in the world. And how are they going to keep this worldview? What does Moses tell them? Well, he tells them that they are to gather around the words of the Lord to them. They were to make sure their whole households had their own worldviews formed by the reality of the living God. Verses 6 and 7, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. The verses talk about the words being on our hearts. The heart in a Hebraic worldview means the intellect or the consciousness, actually. E.H. Merrill says it like this, in the psychology of the Old Testament, the heart is not the center of emotional life and response, but the seat of the intellect or rational side of humankind. To be upon the heart is to be in one's constant conscious reflection. I love that. They're to be in the center of their minds all the time. Moses will go on to say in the following verses that they're to tie them to their hands, they're to bind them to their foreheads, they're to write them the word of the Lord on their gates and their door frames. It's not intended to be a literal thing, although some Orthodox Jews to this day actually do that. It just simply is a way of saying they were to have God's words ever before them, allowing them to form and shape worlds and worldviews, which shapes how we engage in the world. And the people of God have done this. They've done the same. They have built their lives. They have placed the word of God ever before them to shape their life and worldview until this very day. The wonderful D.L. Moody said this, the Bible was not given for our information, but for our transformation. How we view the world determines how we act in the world. And when we place the word of God directly in our consciousness, when it's got our full attention, it isn't just information. It brings transformation to everything around us. Have we ever seen a time when we have needed our worldview impacted by God's light and presence and wisdom more than today? We need this now. I need to be reminded about God's reality, goodness, and imminence. I need to be reminded about what will truly bring hope and joy, peace and happiness. I need truth in a world of illusions. I need to know there is a God who created me and loves me and sent his Son to die for me. I believe the world around us needs to know all of this, and if you need to know this too, we find it by investing our lives in the Word of God to us. If you look around our world today, there are various worldviews that are shaking right now. It feels like the world is on fire. Worldviews are shaking and have few answers as we see epidemics of conflict, anxiety, and fear. The worldview of the Bible offers us hope and life and peace with a God of mercy and love and care who beckons us close to him through his son Jesus. He beckons us home. Come home to your true home to experience his order and his peace in the midst of chaos. What if we were able to do this? To have the Word of God constantly around the atmosphere and ecosystem of our lives and our household. To engage with or re-engage with God's Word, to let it shape and form us again and impact our actions. And what if we were able to do what verse 7 says, to talk about it in our households, to pass on the reality of God, to pass on a worldview of God's goodness and imminence and flourishing as a legacy in our homes. This is really hard. And if you're a parent listening to me now, you know that this is really hard. But what if we seized this moment? I just want to say something to our parents today. A number of you have gotten in touch with us, and you've said that in this strange lockdown time, your children have seen you pray and read the Bible and kind of lead family worship for the first time, and it's really impacted your family. And you've led your family in this simply because you've had to. And I would say to you, keep going. That is one of the strange gifts the Lord is giving his people in the midst of a really hard time. Our children are seeing us follow Jesus in a different way. Keep going. It will bear fruit. You are rooting life with God and God's word deeply in your household, and you are building towards legacy. Seize this moment and build on this practice and don't stop. One simple thing that we're doing in our household to talk about it as a household and to get it swirling around our attention and our minds is we're jumping over again to the Bible Project website, and we're finding one of their videos that offers a biblical perspective on a word that comes up and is relevant to us. And last week's word was generosity. And so as a family, we just watched a 5-minute video on the biblical perspective of generosity and just unpacking it and explaining it. And then we just had a discussion about it. Maybe that's a way for you and your household to begin to engage and talk about it when you are lying down and when you're on the road and all this stuff. And if your children are just too young to kind of grasp some of those things, Katie and the children's team produce wonderful videos every week. Use those in your household and build these rhythms. But the most powerful thing you can do is to let your children see you building your own life around the Word of God, and then you invite them into that. Well, the second reason that I want to bring up is that the Scriptures point us constantly towards Jesus. There are so many things we could talk about when it comes to the Bible and reasons to invest in the Bible. But for me, right now, worldview and the fact that it points us to Jesus are incredibly important. Three things with this, really quickly. Whatever you think about the Bible, everyone can agree. No matter if you think it's not true, it's dreadfully confusing, or it's the words of life to you. Whatever you think of the Bible, everyone can agree that it points us towards Jesus and invites us to put our faith in him. He's present in the background of the Old Testament as the story of God builds and builds. We see him fully in the New Testament. The eternal Word of God became flesh. And when we develop habits and practices that keep us returning to God's Word, he is placed constantly before us. We learn from him. We learn about him. We are confronted by him. We must reckon with him. And we are, of course, invited to place our faith and hope and trust in him for forgiveness for our sins and healing for our brokenness, for peace in the storms and anxieties we face, to receive purpose, redemption, grace and mercy. And without the practice of investing time in the Bible, we can push him to the margins. We can forget him. We can allow him to just kind of fade into some kind of advisor or a mascot, instead of what the whole story of the Bible presents him as, the Son of God, our Savior and Lord of heaven and earth. Will we hear his words to us today? Will we make space and time to hear his words? Well, the second little thing with this is the Bible not only points us to Jesus and keeps him right in our vision, it really clearly shows us that a life lived deeply in the Scriptures is the life Jesus himself led. We see him in the Gospels. We see how he knew the Scriptures and he uses the Scriptures. And even at his worst moments, it's Scripture that flows out of him. As he hangs on the cross, he speaks out words from the Psalms. And as he is tempted by the devil, he fights the devil off using passages from the book of Deuteronomy, two of which are in chapter 6, the very chapter we just talked about. Jesus uses God's words and God's worldview to defeat the enemy, to defeat temptation. He flourishes in the land because he keeps and hears the words of God. What if we did that too? If you are serious about following Jesus, you need to be serious about the Bible he knew and meditated on and what came out of him. Well, third little thing here. Jesus himself says to his disciples and says to us, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. And then listen to this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. It's not a magic thing. It's not like an incantation that we can get whatever we want from Jesus. It's simply a picture of flourishing as we abide in the presence of Jesus as our friend, brother, and Lord. He says, let my words abide in you. My words dwell in you. My words remain in you as we remain in him. One of the most powerful ways we abide or dwell or remain in Jesus' presence is by letting his words abide in us. The wonderful Belfast boy, C.S. Lewis, said, we come to the Scriptures not to learn a subject, but to steep ourselves in a person. That person is Jesus. When we read the Bible, study the Bible, meditate on it, we're letting his words remain in our hearts. Are his words in your heart? And do you want them to be? Do you want to see what happens in your heart, in your life, in your workplace, in your whole household as you over time abide in him and let his words abide in you? Let's seize this opportunity with this practice to creatively let the word of God revealed to us in the Bible dwell in us. There's so many different resources on our present resource page to get you started, whether you've been reading the Bible your entire life or you're brand new and don't even know where to start. Head over there. There's so many different things you can try and practice. I want to end tonight by actually focusing on the words of Jesus. Here's the words of Jesus to us in Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to invite you to stand, and if you're watching this at home, you can stand as well, so go on ahead. And I want to invite you to, I'm going to read this two or three times to us. And I would invite you to quiet your heart. And you may wish to close your eyes and just let the words of Jesus from the scriptures just wash over you, or you may wish to open your eyes and look at the word of the Lord to us. Hold the words in your mind and in your heart. Let it sit before you. Maybe a word or a phrase or something is going to jump out, and you're going to journey with that through tonight. Maybe you're going to wake up tomorrow morning thinking about that. Maybe something will prompt a prayer that you need that or want that. So Holy Spirit, would you prepare our hearts to hear the words of Jesus, and would you cause them to be rooted deeply in our hearts? Jesus says unto you and unto me, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Receive that again. No matter the condition of your heart or your life, whether you're feeling great or whether you feel like you're falling apart, hear the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to come unto him. Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So wherever you are, if you're in the room with me now, if you're watching online, I'm just going to pray for us. Holy Spirit, we say yes to the invitation of Jesus to come unto him. We give you our weariness where we're burdened, and we ask that we would be given rest in the presence of Jesus. I ask that for our whole congregation, wherever we are, that you would pour out the rest and peace and presence of Jesus. Would you ignite something powerful in our entire community as we invest our lives, as we build practices and rhythms that keep us in the Word of God? Would you speak to us? Would you transform us? Would you restore us and put us back together? Would you lead us to salvation and healing and peace and joy through God's Word? As I was praying for us, I just had a few quick things that I just wanted to mention. I just wanted to offer to pray for parents. Holy Spirit, for parents who are hearing this and watching this, who are out of answers and weary, I pray for strength and resilience and vision and strategies to lead their families towards Jesus and his worldview. Come, Holy Spirit. I pray for those here and those watching that are looking for answers to big questions. I pray that as they search the scriptures, they would find the answer, who is Jesus. And I strongly felt that there are Bible teachers, theologians, and scholars that are to come from this community. So whether you're watching online or you're here with me, if you feel like that is for you or someone in your family line, let me put your hand on your heart. I just want to pray for you. Lord, we pray that men and women of authority and passion and humility would come from this community and teach and preach and study and write and debate and carry your word faithfully and disciple generations. We pray for children and youth in our youth and children's rooms right now. They don't even know it, Lord, but you are calling them into this. We pray for their minds and their hearts, that your fire would fall on them. We pray that this would always be a congregation that loves your word, rests in your word, and preaches and handles your word faithfully. Draw us in Jesus' name. Well, now, whether you're watching at home or here with me, we're about to finish. And if you're watching at home and you want someone to pray with you about this or anything else, you can sign up on our website for a prayer ministry slot over Zoom, and we would love to pray for you that way. If you're in the room with me now, once I dismiss everyone, you can just stay in your seat, and I or someone on the staff team would just love to pray with you for any need that you have, physical, emotional, spiritual. But now I'm going to dismiss us with a benediction. So if you're at home, put your hand on your heart. If you're here with me, put your hand on your heart. And I want to just bless you as our time together is over. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.